To Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, the book, and as you get closer to the end of the book, it becomes a summary of the things that Paul has been talking to these folks about. He's got a lot to say about Gentiles in this chapter. If you look at the word Gentile as you get further along, in verse 9 twice, in verse 10, verse 11, verse 12 twice, in verse 16 twice, and verse 18, and I haven't even underlined all of them, just a few of them. He's going to talk to the Gentiles a little bit. He's been talking to the Jews a little bit. But he doesn't specify who he's talking to in chapter 15 and verse 1, not in terms of group anyway. He's talking to people with a certain attribute. He talks about people that are strong and people that are weak. Now, there's different kinds of strength. There is physical strength. We need some physical strength. Have you ever tried to lift that counter out there in the foyer? I pushed up on it. It just pushed back. It didn't move an inch. And Carlos, he was a little more free available than I was. He got both hands. He pushed up. Nothing happened. I don't know. Maybe it's tacked to the floor. I don't know. But it's going to take some strength to get that thing out of there. There's physical strength. There's spiritual strength. Amen? If I was to name some people in the Bible, you could say to yourself, that's a strong person. For example, if I was to name Peter, spiritually strong? Amen. What about Paul? John? What about Demas? Thomas? The Lord chose Thomas as a disciple. When they went to heal, they were going to go to raise Lazarus from the dead just before Jesus was crucified. It was the miracle that drove the Pharisees over the edge. They said, we can't have any more of this. People are going to follow him and not follow us. And that's the reason they made a council to kill him. But when they were ready to go to Lazarus in Bethany, which is just outside Jerusalem, the disciples were concerned because they knew that the Jews were already wanted to kill him. And so when Jesus said, we're going to go, Thomas says, okay, let's go die with him. Then, of course, Thomas is the one that doubted after Jesus rose from the dead. Anyway, spiritually weak. What would you rather be, spiritually strong or spiritually weak? Amen? It's not just an option, by the way. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord. Now, that's another message, but I'll show you where to find it. When God tells you what to do, if you'll dig a little, he'll tell you how to do it. You might pray, Lord, show me how to be strong. That'd be a good prayer, amen? But what do you know about Ephesians 6? What do we see in Ephesians 6? We talk about it all the time. Mr. Dahlman, tell him. The armor of God, yeah. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. And read that chapter and you can see the things you need to be strong. Faith is a key, the shield of faith that you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Would you agree with me, churches need some strong Christians? Would you agree with me, Christians that are weak have a harder life than Christians that are strong? Oh, it's so sad. We have students in school and their parents are not helping them be strong, and it really is frustrating because we can't do much about that. And we do the best we can with what we can, but we need strong parents in our society. If there were more strong parents, there'd be fewer people looting Walmart. Amen? So anyway, look at this passage with me. We've only got about 15 minutes. We won't be long, but it's very important. Romans 15:1, he says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Father, please bless our time. Give us guidance in Christ's name. Amen. It's not a complicated passage, is it? there's a couple of things there you might have to ask. What's a reproach, maybe, or some things like that. But look at verse 1. Let's just talk about strong. I think a strong Christian would be a faithful Christian. Amen? A strong Christian would be one that could withstand temptation and avoid sin. A strong Christian would be one that would understand the Word of God. A strong Christian would be one that would serve and that would be busy doing things for the Lord. And conversely, a weak Christian is probably just the opposite. It's not God's will for us to be weak. But when you and I got saved, we were pretty weak, weren't we? We didn't know a whole lot of Bible. We didn't know a whole lot about church. We didn't know a whole lot about being faithful. I remember the pastor visiting us in Utah when we first moved there. And I told him, I just said, look, I can't be faithful to church. I just can't. Well, I was not being completely accurate. The answer probably should have been won't. You know what? God made us faithful. The Bible says when we're weak, He's strong. But we have a responsibility in this, don't we? If you want to be a faster runner, or if you want to lift heavier weights, or if you want to be able to perform some task more capably, you work at it. And the Bible says we should exercise ourselves unto godliness, and exercise makes us strong. That's not the point of the message, but I will tell you this. We can all be stronger day by day. Amen? And I can tell you something else. Don't ever depend on your strength. But God gave us strength for a reason. And He tells us what it is right here. He says in verse 1 that there are some that are strong and there are some that are weak. And that the strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, that word bear, let's talk about that just a little bit. That's not an animal in the woods. That's a different kind of bear. This is a bear that can be one of two things. You think of bear as carry, like you bear the load or you bear the burden, you carry the load. And then in a more, in a different sense, we might use the word bear to put up with something. You know, like how are you doing? Well, I'm bearing it, you know, I'm putting up with it. But to bear something is to carry a load. And when I saw this, the first thing I thought about was I remembered when we were in the military and training, and it's not like the Air Force where you drive everywhere you go. So when we were out training for small unit tactics, we would have in our unit, we would have a machine gun. It was an M60, 7.62 millimeter, nice weapon, really shot well, heavy. Somebody had to carry that thing. They wouldn't give it to the smallest guy in the platoon or in the squad. They give it to somebody that's got some strength. Amen? So we need some strong people. But is everybody strong? No. There are some weak folks out there, aren't there? No question about it. Why? Okay, first of all, you will agree with me. We all like to think of ourselves as one of those strong ones. I hope you are. I hope you're getting stronger. I hope you are faithful. I hope you are serving. I hope you are sacrificing. I hope you are, abstaining from sin and avoiding and escaping temptation and so forth. I hope you're strong. We like to think of ourselves as strong. I have been in situations where I was the weak guy. I've been in situations where I was the one that couldn't run. When I was in college for a while, I was in really bad shape, and everyone could outrun me. I got stronger. I've been in situations to where I was a little guy. When I was in the ninth grade, I've told you my football stories. I played football for one spring training season in high school, and I was the littlest guy on the team. And the coach, to build me up, put me with the linemen. It's like this guy right here. I'm about that big, right? I'm a high school lineman. Not that you're small, but I was older than you were. And so anyway, I'm the lineman, and they would run this play called a trap. And if you know anything about football, what happens is you got a pulling guard. So the center, what the center does is he goes one direction, and then the guard on the one side of him comes around behind him, and that guard and the guard on the left both pull, and you make a like that, and the quarterback runs through the middle, or the whoever got the ball. The running back runs through the little gap you make there. I was so small, when I got to where I was supposed to be, I couldn't move the guy in front of me. I stopped. And about that time, here would come the running back over the top of me. And I didn't play football very long. I couldn't do that. I was the weak guy. It's no fun being the weak guy. But the coach knew something. If you're going to play football, you got to strengthen yourself up some. Amen? You got to lift some weights. You got to work out. You got to put up with some pain. You can be stronger as a Christian. Don't satisfy yourself being a weak Christian. It's just not a good way to be. Now, here's the whole point. No, I haven't got much time left even. He says, we then that are strong. We like to think of ourselves like that. We then that are strong, there's a reason. The reason is we ought. That means you should. It's your task. It's your role. It's your responsibility. We ought to bear, to carry, to lift, to hold up the infirmities of the weak. In other words, God made you strong so you could carry the load. Here we are tonight. Not everybody's here. I'll just speak kindly. Let's just assume the Wednesday night crowd tends to be the stronger folks in the church that came out on Wednesday night. Some folks that would be here tonight can't for health reasons, but by and large, it's the same crowd every Wednesday night. The stronger folks. We prayed tonight. We prayed, and some folks that could have been here to pray aren't here. Maybe they're weak. Well, shame on them. Let's just kick them out of the church. No, we're supposed to bear the infirmities of the weak. Amen? When you're carrying the machine gun because a little guy can't carry it, it's harder for you. It's a heavier load. It's more work. It makes you tired. You, if you carried the same load everybody else carried, it'd be an M16, which isn't all that heavy, but you're carrying this 10, 12-pound machine gun, 15, I don't know, and it's heavy, but you got that strength for a reason. God made you and I strong for a reason, and we ought to try to be strong for that reason so we can carry more of the load so that the weaker folks can be borne along because, folks, Christ died for them too, and he loves them too. And he grieves. If it grieves you when folks don't come to church, it grieves him too. And there are some folks that could be serving God, could be faithful, could be growing in the Lord, and they're not. They're weak. You say, well, they just deserve to be cast out. Nope, we've already been through that already. We need to carry that load, bear that burden. We need to bear their infirmities and not to please ourselves. What does that mean? How could it be that you would be pleasing yourself? Well, sometimes, sadly, first of all, it's a whole lot more comfortable to carry a light load than a heavy load. And so you say, well, I'd be a whole lot more pleased if my load was light. But God says, nope, you need to carry that heavy load that somebody else isn't carrying. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes nobody else shows up. I'm going to be here. And you are too. Sometimes nobody else is there to do the work. And so we're going to do the work. That's okay. Great is your reward in heaven, and it's a blessing to be used by God. And so, folks, be that person that's going to bear the infirmity of the weak. It may not be pleasing to have to do the extra work or carry the extra load or deal with the extra burden, but it pleases God. So just a simple aspect there of this thought. He says in verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, there you go. That edification is a word that you don't use very often, but here's what it means. Build things up. Build people up. How do you build somebody up? Oh, I know how you build them up. You tell them what's wrong with them, right? You chew them out. What's wrong with you? You're lazy. You don't do anything. You don't show up. What's the matter? No, that's not how you build people up. How do you think you build people up? You pray for them. Care about them. Amen? You think, oh, some people. Yeah, I know. That's what we were. We were some people. And then Christ died for us too and saved us. And so what our job is to build people up. Listen to me. It's already been preached in this passage earlier. We don't need to judge folks. God's going to judge them. Our goal should be build up as much as you can, everybody that you can. And if they refuse to be built up, you grieve over that, but you keep on trying. He says, don't please yourself. He says, please your neighbor. Edify them. Build them up. Verse 3, and I'm going to finish up here pretty quick. He says, even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. You know what Christ did? He took our sins upon himself. He bore our sins on the cross. You sinned, Christ paid for it. You should have suffered, Christ suffered in your place. You should have paid for that sin, Christ paid for it instead. He paid the whole debt. We call ourselves Christians. Shouldn't we pay other people's debt? Amen? Say, Pastor, they won't help. I know that, and I pray that they would change their mind, but in the meantime, I'll help. Amen? You say, Pastor, they won't show up. We'll pray for them and try to encourage them and hope that maybe God will open their eyes. In the meantime, I'll show up. Amen? It's just what Christ did for us. We were sinners, and Christ died for us. And then he says in verse 4, and this is quick and I'll be done. He says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. What is that doing there? Why is that verse where it is? Things written aforetime. Well, you didn't see maybe at the end of verse 3, he quoted the Old Testament. He said, it is written. And now he's talking about that a little bit. He says, it is written. And then there's this prophecy about Christ bearing our reproaches. And then he says in verse 4, those things that are written in the Bible are written for our learning. Pastor, I don't know how to do it. Well, you need to learn. Amen? Oh, I know a verse. I was thinking about this today. I was praying, and Lord, I don't know how to do some things. You know what the Bible says in James? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you say, I don't know how to do it, have you asked the Lord to teach you? Amen? I'm just talking to myself a little bit. Lord, show me how to be strong. Read Ephesians 6, God says. Lord, show me how to do what needs to be done. He can show us. He'll teach us. The Bible's there for our learning. Then he says that we through patience and comfort, that's interesting. In fact, it's not just comfort, it's comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And this is where we'll finish. You got strong because your faith increased. Your faith increased because you read the Word of God, heard the Word of God, memorized the Word of God. Thought about the Word of God. You meditated on it. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God will make you stronger. And doesn't it give you comfort? Amen? I'm just thinking of the times that we face trials in our life. And the Lord says, He won't let us be tempted above that which we're able, but in all these things, He'll let us find a way to escape. And that was a weak bit of a paraphrase there, but mostly the way it says it. The Bible says that if we'll ask, we'll receive. And the Bible says God will provide our needs. And the Bible says so many things that just comfort us. A preacher stood up one time and said, God is not interested in your ease and comfort. Ease, maybe not. Comfort, yeah, God wants you to be comfortable. Not so much physically comfortable as just comfortable in life. Don't you get a lot of comfort knowing God taking care of everything? Amen? That's comfortable. You need to move a washer and dryer, and before you finish praying, there's already an answer. That's kind of nice. You need a situation dealt with, an answer to a question, a problem solved, a doctor's hands guided in surgery, whatever it might be, and God just does those kind of things. Folks, God comforts His people. And then just remember that the key to all that comes back around to the Word of God. Things that were written, verse 3, it is written. All of this comes from the Bible. So, I hope you're strong. A chain is only strong as its weakest link. I was going to pull a tree out of out of my front yard in Utah. I went down to Lowe's and I should have bought a chain. I bought a tow rope strap, tow strap. It says this tow strap can pull a ton. I'm thinking, nah, that'll be enough, yeah. Tie the tow strap to the stump, tie the tow strap to my truck, full-time four-wheel drive Chevy, ease forward, ease forward, get on the gas. Toe strap broke. Okay, I can fix that. Doubled it, because I got two now. Tie it to their stump, tie it to the truck, twice as thick. Toe strap broke. Quadrupled it. Toe strap broke. Idiot, you should have bought a chain. But the thought is this. If you're going to accomplish something that's hard, you need some strength, don't you? If our church is going to do some things that are hard, we need some strong church members. They're not all going to be strong. One of the hard things to do is to bring the weak folks along, isn't it? That's something that God says is our job as strong Christians, bear the infirmities. That's just another word for weaknesses. Bear the infirmities of the weak. And let me just think about it like this. Aren't you glad God made you strong? He didn't do that just so you could take it easy and please yourself. He did that so you could help some other folks. Let's do that. Amen? Think of somebody, you haven't got to label them, but you think of somebody that's not faithful or somebody that's not involved, and say, maybe you could be that one that would edify them, that would encourage them, that would comfort them, that would bring them along. Just call them and say, hey, I miss you. Come on back out to church. Hey, how about helping with VBS? Hey, how about, come in and join us for a prayer meeting on Wednesday night? Amen? That's our job. We're the strong ones to bear the infirmities of the weak. When you get to heaven, you'll be glad you did. There's a reward for that. Let's all stand and pray.